In this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised a servant to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imagination. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of a word of life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
First Kings chapter 17. And I'll be speaking tonight briefly before we go into prayer about infallible proof. Now. When? Now. 1 Kings chapter 17. I take it from verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. I decided to start my reading from here to place your finger on the precedent event that led to verse 24. Verse 24 says, and the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know. Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. How do we place this side by side with verse 16? There are many things God has been doing in your life, but you need one now. Can you please highlight the word now? Now. Verse 16 says, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spake by Elijah. Now the hostess is saying in verse 24, now by this I know. So what happened in verse 16? You don't know. There was famine. And Elijah left the city to stay and take a temporary shelter by the brook Cherith. And by that brook, God was feeding him. The food did not fail, but the water failed. Because what we had in short supply was a national disaster in that there was no more rain. How food did not fail, I don't know. Some supernatural supply was responsible for that, but we had a natural supply in the water that he had to drink. And God was not going to be giving you food and not giving you water to drink. So when the water dried up, the brook dried up, God now spoke to Elijah and said, leave this place and go to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. So, the transaction of sustenance was foreseen and foretold. And this person that God said he had commanded, listen. This person that God said he had commanded, he said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain. This person that God had commanded now began to argue about the responsibility that God put on her. When Elijah met her and said, sister, hello, sister, could you please find me food? And then could you find me water? And then he was telling Elijah, look, perhaps you don't know. Maybe you are a stranger around here. There had been no rain for some time here now. And yet we are told God had spoken to you about a person you are going to supply, sustain. It is in this meeting I will be doing a very special prayer for those who have responsibility and divine mandate to sustain you, and they are arguing. And they are making it look as if you are not. It is in this meeting you are going to prove the fact that you are not a gambler. God said, I have commanded her to sustain you. You get an Ezekiel, you give me, he said, look, there has been no rain. And unless Elijah had insisted, which will also be my point of encouragement to everyone who has suffered denial and denial upon denial, please insist. Did you hear me? You don't insist. There are spiritual indolence and devious fellows who are not compliant. And when God speaks to them, they have a habit of arguing. I hate having anything to do with such people. When God spoke to Saul of Tarsus, on his way to Damascus, when he met Christ and fell down, and the Lord said to him, get up, go to the town, go and lodge in such and such a house. He said, yes, sir. Then God spoke to an old disciple and said, go to such and such a place, you will find a new disciple. Go and lay hand on him and pray for him that he may see. He argued. He said, is he not the man that they say used to kill people? There are those fellows who have become so familiar with God, and they don't take instructions. They don't obey instructions. I don't like to meet with them because they delay your miracle. But when you are so unlucky to confront such, insist. Did you hear me? When you meet with obstinate and stubborn, recalcitrant spiritual characters, do what?
Insist.
Because that's the way they are. That's who they are. So the woman went and did what Elijah said. And here is the conclusion of what the Bible says. Elijah has said, look, if you do what I tell you, the powder, the flour, the oil will not be exhausted. Just do what I said. And the Bible said, she went and did it. The powder, the flour did not fail. The oil did not fail. Throughout the time of dry season, we're talking of over 1,000 days. And three of them were in that house and they were eating and drinking from a bottle. Sustained from a bottle. And that is the conclusion that we saw in verse 16. That the barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cruse of oil failed. And it was said, the reason why it was so, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So Elijah's signature is still on this event. Elijah's signature is still on this event. Elijah is the one driving this event. So it didn't fail, according to Elijah's word. Elijah had this prophetic authority whenever he spoke. You remember the way he spoke to Ahab? He said, there will neither be rain nor dew these days according to my word. That is to say, when they ask you who said it, tell them I'm the one who said it. So, that signature was established again in verse 16. But in verse 17, it came to pass after these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, what have I done with thee, O thou man of God? Come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son. From verse 18, we now know the relationship between sin and death. that even at that time, it seemed everybody knew that sin are death, and death, they are neighbors. One leads to the other. The Bible said the soul that sinneth shall die. It appears like it was even common knowledge at that time. And the woman was highlighting this. That is it that you have come to recall my sin, and the consequence of which will now be that my son will die. There are those probabilities about where the consequence of sin land. If you recall my sin, then I should be the one to die. But when you recall my sin and my son, who did not sin, die. That Abraham needed to establish his relationship with God very well, and Isaac was to be the scapegoat. You will not die another man's death. But my baladra, oh, ni baku, ni kuku. Now, only say, emuese mi wa sinoti, ese temi. Mbe emuese mi wa sinoti, omo mi lo aku. Emi lo ya kuku. Ti Abraham ba fe se gbagbo. Say, Isaac lo ma afi se. Omo lomo. To na ni ma je mu ti e to fe lo. Bi Jephthah se lo fi omo e afi. A fi ru ajumo se to wa laarin ohun at Olorun o ni gba ku oni kuku. But the point has been made that in those days everybody even seemed to know that whoever sins will die, or death will just be invited to come and strike whoever is next, whoever is close enough. But then the prophet said, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom. In other words, the boy died on her laps and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? You see, we are managing a national disaster. Famine, no food. People are killing themselves and boiling their children and slaughtering them and eating. So, that's why, as thou also, give it back in verse 20. Hast thou also brought evil upon this widow? That is, you have brought evil on everybody in town. Are you going to also bring evil on this one that I am managing here? Hast thou also, this also, is to tell you that this thing is everywhere, but this person has been excused because of hospitality. He says, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? Verse 21. And he stretched him several times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. That is, the soul had left. Elijah was recalling the soul back into the child. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. This verse is loaded, and that's where I want to talk tonight. All that has happened up unto this event did not seem to persuade this woman 100% that Elijah was a man of God. Whatever had happened earlier on, by the divine supply that he masterminded, and it wasn't a divine supply that he masterminded just for the widow and her son to eat. He was also eating there. So it's likely for this widow to conclude that Seri Gogwele is that he told no my Jehovah Nara. Ajo he told no my Jehovah Nara. Ajo he told no my Jehovah Nara. So the kind of respect that the miracle of divine supply was supposed to establish had this doubt. We are eating, but there is a man of God in our house that is helping us. That's why, you know, he too came. And in fact, that was where the day he first came. That was where the discussion started, the day he first came. It was this food matter that was the most important discussion that day and since then. So, I am here tonight not to remove the one God has been doing. I will leave it there with all the doubts that surround it. But we need one now. We need one now that will not be connected with the previous one. It will be a senior one. It will be a bigger one. It will be an unarguable one. Uncontestable one. When this kind of thing happened, a whole dam. I say, Jire, So, ile enoro wa wo si bayi disi ile enoro o ti mu ibu gbe nbi to ti kuro. So when this kind of things happen, people begin to articulate and begin to list and begin to say you see the reason why it didn't get this is because of that. You saw one man in John chapter 9 when people were the disciples were even asking and saying, is it him that sinned or his parents that he was born blind? People want to articulate, people want to adduce, people want to assemble facts against you. People want to make you a person that cannot be believed. They want to recall some of the past events of your life that will make the present to become doubted and doubtful. That's why we need one now. How many of you need one now? So, when this matter had become this, in verse 24, now by this I know that thou art a man of God and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. The next verse says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself to Ahab. What I just want to say in chapter 18, verse 1 is that Seria in Watoro is Sele, Olorun wa pe Elija ku nbi bayi. Live here. Ko mi to tun ku nbi bayi. Because if by my staying here, all the miracles you've been having and eating, you say you didn't know that I'm a prophet. It's only now that your child died and I brought him back. You say, now you know. I'll be leaving tomorrow. Go me, Totun. And the Lord will continue to guide you. The Lord will continue to lead you. Why this is important is the fact that when the brook dried, God stepped in and said, leave here, go to Zarephath. When Zarephath was becoming an embarrassment, God said, leave here, go and bring the ring down. That's why David said in Psalm 23, he said, he leadeth me. May the Lord lead you. When you travel along a road that the English people, maybe the French, it's a cul-de-sac, is a road that leads nowhere. It's a close. If the brook dried and God did not show up to tell us what next to do, and he was there, he would die. A prophet would die through the prophecy he gave. And it was after the prophecy that God said, go to the brook Cherith and stay there. Now, God asked him to go to come to Cherith. Water dried there. God asked him to go to Zarephath. Child died there. God said, live here. You see, I'm bringing to you the fact that the steps of a righteous man, they are ordered by God. And each time you are about to be embarrassed by a certain encounter, and you are beginning to ask yourself, did God not lead me here? Was it not God who asked me to come here? How is it that when I get here now, this is what I'm seeing here, and you are beginning to run your life and your call and your ministry into all kinds of crises, just wait for the next instruction. It has never failed to come. Go to Brook Cherith and stay there. Food will come. Drink from the water. God led him there. The next question will be, how will God lead you to a place and the brook dried? If it dried and it's turning out to be an embarrassment, don't doubt your God. Your God will issue the next instruction. Then the Lord said, get out of that place. Go to Zarephath. A woman will sustain you there. You are there. The woman is sustaining you. Now the child died. When they were here, when there was famine, the child did not die. Because he was born here, then he went to Oku. At Jambai, at Oku. So there will be the recourse to regret that this, what type of stranger is this one? He says he's a prophet. Now, this one that happened now that the child died has wiped out the supply in verse 16. I told you when I was a guest speaker in the church in Ado, Then something happened and I became person. Say this person. Whatever else, Sherry, that Jesus turned water to wine. Wedding tipari, reception, ibe not ma muti only muti ni church. Sherry, that end point, yeah. If there was no wine and they ate and left and went murmuring, that terminal, that end point, no matter what good things had happened, no matter the message the preacher preached that day, that one that was not there at the end, because and that was where Jesus was staying and waiting for them. The Lord is waiting for somebody here. This your life will end well. That end point of the staying of Elijah in this woman's house, that end point, that final end, is very crucial that it become testimonial. It's very crucial that it ends up on the note of testimony. Whenever Elijah was going to leave that house, let Elijah leave that house on the note of testimony. You will end your life on the note of testimony. Say loud, amen.
Amen.
When Jesus had commissioned the disciples and he has left, I made mention of this most important outing of Peter and John. Most important because, if this one fails, forget about the next one. No next one. There is that one that is just major. There is that one which, if it doesn't happen, if I know myself, okay, I'll do my tattoo alone in school. We will later tell you, I'm ready to talk with John and Peter to myself. You will see people who will come and call Peter and say, look, this man, when you were following this man, I warn you, I don't warn you. Now you see now, you say you go learn work. The man don't go now. You are going now. You say you are going to do miracle. The first one, they walk out. There will be no next one. Stand up on your feet. Let me talk to you. Say, Father, don't let me fail on a crucial day, on a crucial outing. Open your mouth and pray like that. Not fail on the most important outing. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated. When Elisha was following Elijah and they were going, and the sons of prophets in Gilgal came out to say, you know Elijah is going today. He said, I know, don't worry, I'm coming. They came to Jericho. The sons of prophets in Jericho came and told Elisha, and said, do you know this man you are following, do you know he's on his way going? He said, I know, don't worry. They came to Jordan. The sons of prophets all around those neighborhood came and also repeated the same thing. It appeared they all knew that Elijah was going. But as I once mentioned to you here, Elisha knew he was following to get something. He was following to get something. But there were already those who were waiting to mock. There were already those who were waiting to ridicule. There were those who were waiting to laugh. To say, oton abi oton. There are those who stood there and they stayed there till Elisha was returning. They stayed there. They knew he would be coming back through the same road, so they waited there. The desperation with which Elisha was following Elijah was a desperation in which he had to get something out of that following, or maybe don't come back. My brother, because these people are waiting. These people are waiting. They have already started to mock you as you are following. But like I once mentioned here, that follow the person you are following. These fellows are going nowhere. They are station managers. Have you been to the rain train station to see station managers? The station manager is going nowhere. He manages the arrival and departure. If you know you are going somewhere, don't have issues with station because he is going. He manages arrival and departure. The desperation with which Elisha was following Elijah was with the intent that, look, I must come back with something. Or, in fact, the options don't exist. It's like you are climbing a staircase and you go there and you knock off the ladder. You've told yourself you are not coming down. And that was the desperation with which he shouted when the chariot of fire came and parted them, threw him off. The whirlwind blew him off. He possibly fell somewhere. And then the chariot of fire picked Elijah and he was going. And then Elisha screamed, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof." This desperation derived from a reminder, how do I go back? How do I pass through the sons of prophets who are already mocking me on my way coming here? How will I re-enter Jericho? How will I establish my ministry headquarters there? How will I pass through Gilgal? My father, my father. It was to that desperation. And I once mentioned here that there are things God will never do for a casual brother. There are things God will never do for a casual sister. There are things God will never do for somebody who is not serious. It's that desperation of my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof, that made Elijah to remove his mantle. They don't wear it in heaven. Give it down. Don't go away with this. Put it down. Bring it. So he threw it down and Elisha picked it for an armor. And got to River Jordan. Like I mentioned before, in the power school, the one your master did last is the one you do first. So, the last miracle Elijah did was to divide River Jordan. And the first miracle that Elisha did was to divide, start where your master ended. I see a lot of gamblers in ministry today, people who are just following any order of service, any order of mission. Start where your master ended. You are continuing where he stopped. So he got to the river, and it was this mantle he carried. He and questioned, where is the God of Elijah? The garment is the one to answer. The mantle is the one to do what? To answer. And when he did that, the river split into two and he crossed carrying this mantle. At the moment he showed up coming, these same mockers, these same sons of prophets, read your Bible very well. All the sons of prophets, none of them became a prophet. They are just layabouts, people who go by that name, and they're the ones who went and bundled themselves in one room, and the place became choked, and they need expansion. And they went and borrowed axe. He has no axe. So they have already gathered. They wanted to see how he's coming back, but they did not see him really. What they saw was that the power of Elijah was resting upon Elisha, and they heralded it, and they all came and bowed down in front of him, and he became their master. Where I'm going is this. Where I'm going is this. If Elisha came back with nothing, I can't imagine how he would come back to Jericho with these boys. In fact, these boys would drive him away. These boys will drive me away. There were in Jericho Belials. Those who are going to be screaming at you, "You bald head, bald head." We didn't even know. They are the ones who help us to know that the man had bald head. But he also dealt with them. But he dealt with them because he got double power from Elijah. If he got nothing, he has nothing to deal with anybody. There is this one that brings men to now. I know that there have been these little bits, graces,
little masses, little miracles, healing of headache, healing of stomach ache, healing of trivial and minor things. We want whole being transformation. Whole human being transformation. The one they will say, is this not the man? We used to know this man here. He used to be the beggar sitting down here. How is it that he has become this? That one, you cannot, we cannot argue about that. Because we all know him. How he used to sit down here begging. But how is it that he's now seeing and it's no more there begging? I went to a town to do crusade. And Moyo is in Kogi State. And in that place, maybe I told you this story before. One man was very sick and he was almost dead. And on his dying bed, he made a promise. He said, God, if I don't die, if I get up again, I have money, but this money now means nothing. God, I'm about to die. I know it myself. I will soon die. And all the money I have will not be anything. But if I get up again, I will take out of the money I have and I will use it to build a house for you. I will equip it, I'll furnish it, put musical instruments and everything. I will do it for you. I'm not a pastor, but this I will do. And God had him and he got up. So he equipped it. Put chairs, keyboard, drum set, and called me and said, Baba Mole, I was on my dying bed when I made a promise and God had me. I've built the church, see it. Take the key. So he gave me an empty church. So he can build the church, but he has nobody to put inside. So I left Ilorin with my choir. A few members in the ushering team who are going to dedicate an empty church in Kwanya. I had no member. And he sat down. Family friends of his, they sat with him. The only people who are members of Word Assembly there were those of us who came from Ilorin. We have no member in the town. Then suddenly a madman entered. Very wild. He had already entered the church. And then was asking, where do they say they are doing church here? Where do they say they are doing church here? Huh? I could not continue my sermon. His name is Femi. I said, Femi, come here. Because somebody called his name when he entered. He said, Femi. I said, Femi, come here. He said, yes. I said, okay. I said, kneel down. Let me pray for you. Kneel down. He didn't kneel down. I said, kneel down. He asked me, he said, for what? May God help you to take control. Kneel down, my friend. He said, yes, sir. Then he knelt down. I was praying. He was looking at me. So I used my forehead to touch his own. And I commanded his brain to normalize. And his brain normalized. And he stood up and greeted me. I said, sorry, sir. So he knew he had been rude. Now he remembered that he had been rude. He said, sorry, sir. Well, no problem. Jokole. So he sat there. And I finished my sermon. Then his mother got up from the behind. He said, I am his mother. When I saw him enter, I put hand on my head. That trouble has come because the mother's elder brother built the chapel. So you see, you couldn't heal him, but the chapel you built is somebody able to add A and B together. Now the chapel you built, you never knew the day you were building it, you were building it for the healing of your nephew or your cousin, whatever that is. So the mother got up and said, I am the mother. And walked down. And
Mother and son embraced in tears. And the mother was in tears. Femi was in tears. And the two of them sat. We ended the service. Let me hurry up to get to where I'm going. And Femi looked at me as I was leaving Ponyo. He said, "Can I follow you?" He said, "Can I follow you?" We were looking for clothes for him to wear so he can enter my car. He can't enter my car the way he is. We're borrowing clothes. The trouser we got could not, it was not his size. We went and used Akisa. We tore rags to make it a rope to tie the trouser to his body so that he can follow me. He followed me like that to Ilorin, and he lived with me for 2 years and became well. And each time the gospel team was going to Ponyo to do a revival, he joined them and got to Ponyo and organized a choir. And he began to sing in the choir. And people were coming from the town to come and see him. It was through Femi we got members. Because the news was, is it true that they say Femi is now a member of the new church that has come to town? And they just came to see him, and he was in the choir, and they sat down. They didn't go home and became members of our congregation. Then we will go back home. After 2 years, Femi told me, "Sir, I want to go back to be a businesswoman. I want to be a businessman. What would you be selling?" He said he will be selling oil and selling plug and selling this petrol you use gallon to measure to sell. So I gave him money and he went to Ponyo and stayed inside the motor park and started selling oil. The drivers going out will buy oil, top up their engine oil and all that from him. And God began to bless Femi. And God began to bless Femi. And people in Ponyo were going to borrow money from him. The stone that the builders have rejected became the head. It didn't matter anymore that he was once mad. Now he has money. What is the past tense? That he was once mad. Say, because they're mad anymore. Oh, that's why you were all mad. You were. So they were lining up in Femi's house to borrow money from him. He was the one borrowing them money. God will turn somebody around here. I said, God will turn somebody around here. I told you a story yesterday of allergy. The allergy said, "By this I know." I'm telling you another one now. It's not an allergy now. The whole town of Ponyo was saying, "By this we know." And I had a church there. My first member was a madman. Sometimes when you are looking for members, you can't get from. Because the good men will not attract anything. A publicly nasty woman. Do you remember that the Bible said that the whole of Samaria followed the woman? Why would they not follow the woman who had been in five different men's homes? They all know her in the town as a nonentity woman. Not anymore. Raise your hand and say, "Not anymore." If you can't get a correct person, you get a nasty person in. A nasty person will eventually bring people who are not nasty. God can use anything. God can use anybody to do his purposes and serve his agenda. Rise up on your feet. We're going to pray. Say, "Now I know. By this I know." There will be a turnaround in some of you. And the turnaround will be the biggest message in town. There will be a huge turnaround for some of you. And the huge turnaround will be the evidence. I need you to say it loud. Say, I have stopped talking. The one I said, they didn't hear. Do one by which they will know. So when me also Roma, eti mo so uta, wobo, onu agbeya, tiyo soro. You will shout the name of Jesus 3 times and tell him that we have 4 months to close this year. Between now and December 31. Egbo eyin eniyan. Ko si ohun ti Olorun o le se. Between now and December 31, there is cannot do. Say, Father, do something that people will know that you are the Lord. Open your mouth and shout and pray. Iba bimbe liore fe eko we that all men may know. In Jesus' name we pray. I have a very passionate prayer to put on the table for you all, that this matter that we're discussing tonight, it touches more on God. It touches God more than you. It's not about you. It's about your God. Because the woman said, now I know that it's God. So it's not Elijah now. Said that's God. It's not Elisha. It's not Elijah. Said that's God in Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 46, David, in facing Goliath, implicated God in the crisis. He said, now you will know that there is God. Ibi ti mo n boro ologun gangan kan lele gbogbo awon eyan to yin ka won ma mo pe olorun kan wa. You remember what Abimelech told everybody in his domain when he had restored the wife of the prophet? He said, whoever touches this woman will die. Ibe la boro de bayi eni ba fowo kan e o ma ku. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, 1746, not 26, 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from off from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is God. And that all I may know that there is a God in Israel. You are the Israel now.
Yes,
that all the people in Ibadan, in your father's house, among your mother's children, we know that this one, your church, today church, or la church, machi, or la vigi, or machi, bugwe. Oma mokwe, be oti rere mbe. Everybody will now know Ibeladei, testing ground. Ibeladei, where everybody will now know, because there will be something that will make them say, now. Before, you don't know. You did there, I bought car. You did there, I built house. You say, no. I born child. I born one, I born two, I born boy, I born girl. You say, you never know. Now you will know. Something will happen now that will help you. There is a lot of despise. They do that to me. You know, Pastor Mole, you say, Pastor Mole, you know. Most of all, God, come low, fair, cool. If you don't like it, take back the home, waku. After this service, any battle for you, the oil, Gia. Whoever decides, I say, I give him a market, yo, Gia. Because something is going to happen in your life and they will be able to say, now I know. Say, Father, this matter concerns you more than me. It's about you, your glory, your name. Defend your name. In my life, defend your name, family, among my children. Defend your name in my business. Defend your name in my investment. Because my investment is not like their own. My family is not like their own. My children are not like their own. Wa pe Jesu ni igba meta pe orun oro yi kan yin e sokale wa ja o ya pe Jesu ni igba meta ko gbadua my family is not like their own temiyato. In Jesus' name we'll pray. In Genesis chapter 26 verse 11, the prayer this night is serious and it's also dangerous. Because there are certain enemies, unless you hold them here, they won't leave you. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. What's it be? What does it be? David is only Psalm 2. Only one or more me. Only lone in immobile. He that toucheth this man. Iwada. Now, if Abimelech is a Gentile king, he's the king of the Philistines, he's not God. If Abimelech can say that he that touched this man or his wife will be put to death. He that touched this man or his wife or his children shall die. Gbogbo yin ekun le sibi te wa emi na mo bi yin mo le mi mo bi o. If Abimelech the king of Philistine, oba Philistine, o ngo uncircumcised, o pase o ni eni ba fowo kan ma yin o lo ma ku. I say to anyone who want to touch you now, he didn't even say anybody that hold. He said that touch. Only about for work on. That's it. He said, a that touch. We're just talking of touch. Go tell somebody ni bag bamu. Oh bamu, oh 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 oh. He that touched these people on the knee, on their knees, or their wives, or their husbands, or their children, shall die. He that touched these girls, he that touched these boys, he that touched these women, he that touched these men, he that touched these young men, he that touched these girls and these boys, anybody for work on your maku. Egbo Ibadan, mi o fomo mi ba yan sere. Mi o fomo mi ba yan sere. Mi o fomo mi ba yan sere. I'm not joking with anybody with my children. I'm not joking with anybody with my daughter. I'm not joking with anybody with my sons. I'm not joking with anybody with my grandchildren. He that touches these people shall die. He that touches these men and women and their children, their brother, their sister, shall die twice. He that touches them shall die twice. Ma se ami yen lo, ma se ami yen lo. Amen, amen, amen. Yes. Mm-hmm. Raise yes, okay. Yes, okay. Go, yes, okay. Let's okay. He that tortured this man and this woman and their husband and their wife and their children and their children shall die, 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 die.
In Jesus' name.
Now I want you to say it to yourself. He that toucheth me, or toucheth my children, or touch my husband, or touch my wife, shall die twice. So pe mi o fi oko mi bayan sere, mi o de fi yawo mi bayan sere, mi o fa won mo mi bayan sere. E ma de be. You are covered by the blood of Jesus. You are covered by the blood of Jesus. Your family is covered by the blood of Jesus. Your wife is covered by the blood of Jesus. Your husband is covered by the blood of Jesus. Your sons and daughters are covered by the blood of Jesus. Your work is covered by the blood of Jesus. Your shop, where you are doing shop, is covered by the blood of Jesus. You are covered by the blood of Jesus. He that toucheth you will die. They will just disappear. It is well. It is well. It is well. And I say to you from today that you will be a celebrant. Every doubt too is removed. You are the authentic sister. Your children are authentic. Your business is authentic. Everything about you is authentic. In the name of the Father and the Son of God and the Holy Spirit. Rise up on your feet and wave your hand to the Lord and bless his name.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's Choice Servant. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's Choice Servant in life-changing services at the Light Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda UA Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.